The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another Kiefer and Curry, a little show where the two of us get together and talk about whatever is important to us, and we hope it's important to you. You just heard Need to Know right here on our host of Tony Curry Radio Network radio stations. You can download that app, TKR. Of course, download the app as well. On top of all the podcasts, we're everywhere. Wherever you get your favorite podcasts, we're available everywhere on all the major indices. You can check out Need to Know, then Kiefer and Curry. And also, we have another show coming up. It's called 4K Wins. 4K Wins. We've been doing really, really well. Been posting our free plays. We're now 1-1 in free plays this week. Go to 4kwins.com. I'm sorry, K4 Wins. What am I saying? 4K Wins.
Yeah.
What
the 4K, hell? 4K, wait, because you want to win 4,000.
I do want to win 4,000. I don't want to win Ks. All right, K4 Wins. K4 Wins.
Tonight, Tony Curry's betting 4,000 straight up. You just heard it right here on
the
show.
There you go. K4wins.com. K4. When I said it, it didn't sound right. It was kind of like calling your wife with the wrong name. It was like, hey, Julie, what?
Yeah, oops.
Who's that? What? K4, are you what? K4wins.com. K4wins.com. All right, so this is a reason why I said this wrong. Guy and a girl going out for a while. They've got this beautiful marriage. She finds out he's cheating on her. And it blows up and he decides to leave. She's like, whatever, get out of here. He takes off. And for the most part, he's done. And then for whatever reason, things don't seem to work out at that, with the new wife. And then, 13, 14 years later, maybe he comes snooping around his ex's door again and things have changed, you know, he's a different man. She's a different woman. And they kind of fall in love again. And next thing you know, she's like, it really wasn't that bad. And I realized we were both going through a lot of things. I was going through school and you were going through some work things. And I know she kind of came out of nowhere and I think we learned her a lesson. And maybe she's been through a divorce too. And so they get back together again, right? They get back together again after being apart for 13 years. He's there for about 3.5-4 years. And you know what happens.
Yeah.
He's snooping around again. And next thing you know, she gets home from work late one night. She's got her scrubs on. She's just leaving Children's Hospital, for God's sakes. She wants to come home and get a hug and a kiss before he's taken off for work. And the bedroom's empty. The bags are gone. The Corvette's gone. It's out of the garage. Where the hell did Bill go? Where'd he go? He went to Texas is where he went. He went to Texas. Yeah. That guy is Sean Miller. Having gone to Xavier myself and then finding out from about 15 people in the course of 10 minutes, Sean Miller has now left the Xavier Musketeers and is going to join the Longhorns of Texas. And I believe you said either last week or the week before on the starting lineup that Texas is going to be looking for a head coach. I know Mark Ingram, who does a show with us, the UAB director's chair, was like, they're going to fire the Texas coach. You can trust me on that because they're just not. And they were sitting there with that 10 seed all year long. And the ironic thing is obviously that the Xavier coach who beat Texas in that first round, he's now taking that job.
Yeah. How about Texas?
How about that? So to add a little insult to injury, let me ask you this. Is Sean Miller a great coach? Answer that first. Is he a great coach?
Sean Miller has had a lot of success at different times, but he's also, you know, not really capitalized. At Arizona, he had built a really promising comeback to that program, which was once really proud and elite. And then all of a sudden, I don't remember what exactly. He ran into controversies with some players and other things, and it all blew up in his face. And Arizona was really pretty lousy. And Arizona's a high, profile, very revered program. But when he didn't, after a really great start there, he had 4 or 5 really bad years, and they stuck with him a long time before letting him go. So I think his resume has been kind of up and down. I think he's shown flashes of being a really good coach, but Xavier's had a lot of good coaches. Tony, I don't know if we really give Sean Miller credit for the current edition of Xavier basketball, because I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you followed it a lot closer than I have, being an alumni, but it seems to me like Xavier has been on pretty solid ground for about 12 or 15 years.
At least years. And of course, we can go back to Thad Matta. We can go back to Pete Gillen. I mean, they've had some great, the guy, Mac, was a decent coach under Xavier. Listen, Xavier's got like, and like 4,000 undergrads, and Cincinnati's right across the street, and they got 40,000. Okay, it's not even close. It's a small little Catholic school. They've done incredibly well. They don't have a football team. They've done really, really well with their basketball program. And I guess the part that kind of bothered me here, and if you want to go along with my analogy of Bill leaving in the middle of the night, he leaves Xavier. I'm not really sure why he left Xavier. It was to take that Arizona gig, which he had agreed to, and that was the Lute Olson situation. And then he ended up being like a bench coach for a year and a half or something like that. And then he ended up basically was a coach in waiting. It was a really strange situation. He goes to Arizona, and he's there for 13 years. Although the last 3 years, didn't sniff the Big Dance. And then Xavier went to the Big Dance 2 of the 3 years. So he's been to the Big Dance twice in the last 5 years, which is not necessarily good, but 4 Elite Eights, 7 Sweet 16s. The guy, I'm not going to say he's a great head coach because I believe you need to go to a Final Four to be a great head coach. I'll say he's a really good head coach. Is he going to be successful at Texas? To me, and I'm not just saying this because I hope he's not, because he's already left it, because I thought Xavier did him a favor. I thought Xavier did him a huge favor after the corruption scandal and everything at Arizona. And by the way, at Arizona, you don't need corruption. That's like cheating at Alabama. You don't need to cheat to bring players in at Alabama. You should do it on your own. It doesn't take that. It's not that hard to recruit 5-star guys at Xavier and or Alabama when you're talking to football. And so I kind of felt like they did him a favor by bringing him back. And I can remember seeing the newspaper, Sean Miller's back. Oh, our lost son has come back, right?
Yep.
It's like the Bible. It's like Joseph has come back to the family. We stubbed him out. He's been gone for 30 years and now he's the king of his own country and we're hungry. Bring him back. You know, we were so happy to have him back. And it was going to be this love affair. And I was looking at the game the other night, which by the way, they should have lost against Texas. They get absolutely outplayed against the Fighting Illini. I don't know if Illinois is that good or Xavier made them that look good. I'm not sure because I'm sitting there looking at that following game and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Kentucky's looking a lot better. I think it was because Xavier has lost their edge. And what I mean is after the game, Sean Miller was asked about the game against Illinois. He's like, they're a great team. They're a really, really good team. We were just out coached. We were out, man, blah, blah, blah. All the blah, blah, blahs. Not the reason you bring back a guy. And so I was like, what the hell is wrong with Sean Miller? Why is he being so soft? Why is he sitting there basically throwing the towel? It almost sounded like having not known that he was leaving to Texas. Now I go back and I'm going to watch that. If I knew that he was going to Texas, that makes total sense. It makes total sense. So, you know, let me tell you what. I'm not as worried about getting the next coach as Xavier as I am about him leaving Xavier, because Xavier's always going to get a good coach. And it's amazing because they can bring somebody in within the program and they're going to be just fine. But it just stinks. It just sucks to me. And it's kind of like, Xavier, you got what you asked for. You got 4 more years. They went to the Big Dance twice. They should be going every single year. And he just shit on your front porch again. And it bothers me.
Yeah, that should bother you. I'm sure, you know, the SEC getting so much publicity now and is the place to be. I'm sure for a coach, that's a powerful lure. And let's face it, Texas has more money than you can possibly imagine. Football season sports partner, Terry Quillian, lives down in the Houston area now. And Terry tells me, and which I never knew, one of the reasons that Texas and Texas A&M are so formidable is because the schools are in on a gig with the state when in public lands where the state produces all kinds of petroleum and gas and oil and whatever comes out of the ground. Both the state schools, and that's the only two, Texas A&M and Texas, get a gigantic chunk of money every year that's just paid to like the general fund of the school. It's supposed to be used for scholarships and things of that nature. But here's a revelation that'll shock you. Football, of course, is king in Texas. So a lot of that money goes to coaches, Jimbo Fisher, now being paid $70 million for duck hunting. He has no job and he's still being paid with a $70 million buyout. The reason they've got the money to do that kind of outrageous stuff is because not only do they have just a huge donor base, they're getting tens of millions of dollars a year from the state of Texas, both those institutions. So I'm sure that Sean Miller, was absolutely bedazzled by how much money they're putting on the table. Now, the downside of that is if you don't perform, they're not going to put up with you long because they don't mind buying you out and getting you out of there and getting somebody else. So he better go in and perform at a high level right away. And I imagine they're going to give him all the resources he needs the first couple of years. I was kind of laughing to myself because you were talking about going to Rupp Arena this week for some of the NCAA games, the home of the Kentucky Wildcats. You were talking about Arizona and Sean Miller being there. I lived in Tucson for about 3 years, and I can tell you that it's the same mentality there. Basketball is king in Tucson for Arizona. Lute Olson, a historic coach, was there for years and years. Arizona was always a mainstay on the big stage, and they have been scrambling for years now to try and get back to that level. Sean Miller had some success, but then got into some controversies and some scandals, and basically the team's performance just plummeted, and he was shown the door. And you're right, Xavier gave him another chance to revive his career. So, hey, Xavier, thank you very much. I just got the Texas job. See you down the road. But, you know, how can we criticize players? And a lot of fans do. I don't like player movement being just so abrupt and so uncontrolled. It really kind of tears at the stability of the whole program. But you can't blame players for being disgruntled and moving to another school when coaches, the shining example, the leaderships of those programs, do it at the drop of a hat.
No, I totally agree with you. And the difference is too, and you could say this for players too, was Sean Miller going to make the same money at Xavier as he's going to make at Texas? And by the way, Roddy Terry was making $3 million a year. I think he's got a $2 million buyout. I'm not sure what that is. I don't know if that's on top of the money he's going to have to be paid. So I didn't think Roddy Terry was going to be a great fit there anyway.
Jump change. Yeah. He was a bad hire. We've heard Case Kiefer on our K4 show. Mm-hmm. Say he thought he was the worst coach in America.
Yeah. And he gets and Texas has not obviously done a fantastic job at hiring football or basketball coaches. That just goes to show, just because you have the money, it's like they're the Dubai of college programs,
but
normally when people have so much money, they don't have to do with it. It doesn't mean they're smart. It doesn't mean they're smart with their money. And it doesn't mean just because you can go out and buy your best coach, it doesn't mean that it's going to turn into a national championship. Ask Jimbo
Tony
Fisher.
The example of Dubai is perfect. Dubai and the United Arab Emirates and other places in the Middle East, those guys, the oil sheiks, have bought so many racehorses, and they spend $15 and $20 million for a racehorse that's completely unproven, for a foal, a newborn. Guess how many Kentucky Derbies they've won in the 30 years they've been speculating in the horse business? Zippo.
Yeah, that's not
nada,
three. That's
zero. So that's a great analogy, because that's exactly right. You a lot of times now in baseball, they're starting to prove it otherwise. The Dodgers have bought their way into a World Series last year. So I guess you can spend overwhelming amounts of money, but it doesn't guarantee anything. But for the most part, it takes more than money. You've got to have the right pieces and the right coach. And, you know, like you said, I think Texas has failed in that arena because they've got too much money. They figure out, what the hell, this guy'll work, and they throw money at somebody, and they throw all the money that they need. And at the end of the day, somebody's more savvy with less budget at other places, and they don't ultimately get
it done. Let's be honest with you, Kip. They had a hell of a better shot at winning a national title and or a conference title in the Big 12 than they do in the SEC now. Now they're playing with the big boys now. I mean, what they won a national title in 2009 was the last time they won so 16 years ago. And they're not even
young team.
They're not even. And I think, you know, they were under 500 as were four other teams in the SEC in conference play this year, and they get a bid. And this may be the last. You know, it's interesting because I think the SEC is doing really well. We still have seven teams left in the Sweet 16. People are like, oh, they're getting blown. Well, they had 14 teams by force of elimination. We're going to have to lose some teams. We're not going to have, you know, the 14 teams in the Sweet 16. Some of them are going to knock each other out. But yeah, for me, I'm kind of like, good, because to me, you're going to go down there for the big fat payday, but just because they got the money to spend, it doesn't mean you're going to be successful down there. We've seen that over and over and over again with both their basketball and their programs. And I'd be interested, to see now the Tennessee head coach and of course he had a nice win this past week. We've been slamming on him pretty good because he's only been to one Final Four and he hasn't lost since we started Rick Barnes. But I'd be interested to see with Rick Barnes, because Rick Barnes had a pretty sweet deal down there in Texas for as long as he wanted to be there.
He did.
And I mean, he didn't care whether they were winning a national title or not. As long as you won 20 games in Texas, they were going to sign your check. Does this have any bearing on the McNeese Will Wade situation for you? Does this feel like, I know some people are just having a fit. I'm totally cool with it. I understand why you'd want to leave a school making $800,000 a year and go make $3 million. I'll be honest with you. I can't believe that Andy Kennedy stayed at UAB. And I've said this on our UAB podcast. When the West Virginia job opened up, I knew he was a Bobby Huggins friend. I knew that the job was extended to him. And you know that even in the AAC, more likely it's a one bid league. And it's certainly not in the Big East. You're probably going to get more bids, and it's going to be, I love Andy Kennedy, and I hope and from what I understand, he loves it here in Birmingham and he wants to stay here, but UAB can't compete with Big East money. They can't.
Nope.
And if it comes down to a point where, hey, listen, I'm getting more kids. Now they're going to college. I need some more cash. Do I expect Andy Kennedy to be coaching at UAB for the rest of his life? No. So why not leave then? So it doesn't surprise me, but the McNeese State situation, which you brought up before we started the show, is a different animal.
The Will Wade deal is really, it really speaks. It's to me, it's even worse than the Sean Miller deal. Sean Miller, of course, again, leaving Xavier is awful, but Will Wade got a chance to go to McNeese and he did great work. Of course, they shocked Clemson in the opening game of the NCAA tournament. McNeese had just an unbelievable year. It's in Lake Charles, Louisiana, right on the Gulf of Mexico, and they're called the Cowboys. Explain that to me, Tony. I was in Lake Charles about 3 weeks ago. I didn't see a cattle. I didn't see a saloon. I didn't see a shootout. What the hell are they called the Cowboys for? Anyway, that's just a little side note. I'm famous for those. But apparently, in getting his team prepared for the NCAA tournament, in the couple of days before that, the deal with North Carolina State was already done quietly behind the scenes. And of course he said, you know, let's not announce this because, you know, I've still got a job and I've got a team in the NCAA tournament. Well, some enterprising soul broke the story, found the proof that it was already a done deal. So McNeese played that first game knowing that their coach had already sold them out. Mm-hmm. That's just wrong. If you have any integrity whatsoever, if NC State's calling you and if you can't say, look, guys, if you want me this bad, if you want to talk to me, I'd love to talk to you, but not until my team's season is finished.
Thank you.
I mean, you do not negotiate while you're preparing for the NCAA tournament.
It's not going to go away. If they want him bad enough, they can wait a week.
Exactly. And here's the thing where Will Wade was very fortunate. This would be a lot bigger deal if Clemson had come back and overcome that 25 or 30 point deficit, which they damn near did. People don't realize Clemson lost by two.
Yep.
They had the ball at the end of the game. That would have been the biggest collapse in NCAA history. If that would have happened, Will Wade would be public enemy number one now, because everybody would be saying, you know, his team was good enough. They had a big lead. They blew it. If Will Wade had been concentrating on that game, him winning that game really relieved a lot of the pressure, because at least he got McNeese Their first ever NCAA tournament win. That's a pretty good thing to go out the door with. He is damn lucky that they didn't blow that lead.
I totally agree with you. And I think that's what a lot of people think. They think he took the job after that first game. He took the job before.
Yes.
You have to kind of give him credit. I mean, they held, you know, the Clemson to 13 points in the first half. And again, you're talking about Clemson having the ball with a chance to not only tie, but also win that game at the end of the game. I couldn't believe when I tuned in, I was like, holy smokes, they're down by two with a couple of seconds left. It was unbelievable. And so now he goes to NC State. And NC State, another one of those weird kind of colleges. I remember when they took on Mark Godfrey, which was, I thought was kind of strange. Of course, he had Alabama at one point, believe it or not. For a little trivia, has Mark Godfrey ever had Alabama number one in the country? He did for 1 week at Alabama a few years back. And of course, he went on to lose that following week. I know Mark, and I couldn't even tell you where he's at, but he had a nice run at NC State. So, you know, maybe Will Wade will have that. I don't expect a guy at McNeese State or some of these smaller schools at Xavier, even at UAB, who's obviously got, you know, a lot of legendary status to it with the Gene Bartow years. And of course, Gene came from underneath, a guy who won 7 championships in a row and 11 overall in the UCLA program. I get all that. I just think that if they want you bad enough, the least you could do is, listen, I'll speak to you guys, but we're going to do this after the season's over with. I think that's what you owe your players. Listen, my grandpa used to always say this, Kip. He's like, just because everyone's doing it doesn't mean it's right. And just because you're the only one doing it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Wow.
So, I mean, think about that. I mean, just because everyone's doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And if everyone's doing, all coaches do that, it doesn't mean, because I can guarantee you, and you could ask Sean Miller this now, they're going to see him again. And next time it may be in a dark alley in the streets, in the streets of down there near the Alamo Dome or something. I don't know. There could be a shot. I'm not saying they're going to treat him like a Tesla owner, but thanks for nothing. The only good thing about Xavier is Xavier has always felt like they were bigger than the coach. They've always been bigger than the coach, and they'll always have Skyline Chili.
Yes, they will. In Cincinnati, they will always have that.
Well, you know, there you go. And as a matter of fact, I was up there, and I will tell you this. I loved Rupp Arena. It was fantastic, but I'm putting up a picture right there of a three-way and a couple of cheese conies that I had.
Look at that.
They actually have a Skyline Chili at Rupp Arena. So I was like, Rupp Arena is pretty nice. It's no Coleman Coliseum.
Oh, yeah, right.
But I was like, holy crap, there's Skyline Chili. Get out of my way. And I was the only one in line. I was like, she's like, you obviously are not from here. And I said, no, I'm from Cincinnati. But, you know, you'll eat that stuff up until your colon will just shut down. And then you eventually just go home is what you do when you have Skyline Chili.
I like what you told me earlier because it was your son's first trip up to the Lexington. Mm-hmm. And you said you drove by Kroger Field, which is where Kentucky plays football. Mm-hmm. And he was not very impressed, and you said, no. just wait a minute, we're on our way to where you'll be extremely impressed, because the Kroger Stadium is not where they hang their hat here in Lexington. It is not the focus. We are going to the venue that's the focus,
and you know this and listen, I'm not saying that their amenities or their arena is shoddy by any stretch, but there's a big difference between Arkansas and Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there in Kentucky going, I mean, that's the only thing I can compare it to from a college standpoint is the Memphis Grizzlies, which is, I love the Memphis Grizzlies. I love the organization, and I like the fact that it's only 4 hours away. I can go drive and see an NBA game. That is a show. It is a show. And you could tell just the speakers. Now, it was run by the NCAA, so it was up from the beginning. The NCAA, the only good thing is they did look-ins actually during the game. They could have done more of those during the game. It's the NCAA. They can run the show any way they want. They can play another game on the big screen during the basketball game if they want, which I would have really loved. I would have loved to have seen that. They were showing the Creighton girls play. I guess maybe it's because it's the only game that was being played. Anyway, all I could think about was Calipari was here in this beautiful palace. Now, again, I think Kentucky fans are as happy about him leaving as he is about leaving and going to Arkansas. So no one made a big hullabaloo about that. And I've got a friend of mine that would go to the grave with John Calipari. And I said, listen, when it was one and done's, but as soon as the NIL hit, he had to go from Kentucky because he was going to be fired before he left. And, and with Arkansas, he can ride out. He's obviously had a successful season. He got to the big dance. He could do his thing. But I don't know. I don't think these coaching things are going to change. But certainly when it's your guy and you're taking a chance on a guy and you bring him back after he left you in the middle of the night for one woman, now he's leaving you for another, it hurts a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, for sure. Calipari has revived his career, and that's kind of hard to imagine a coach that has had as much success as he has had. He did win a national championship at Kentucky, but this is only the second time he has advanced beyond before even winning yesterday. It was only the second time he had gotten to the Sweet 16, actually the first time since 2019. That's so great. Being at Kentucky and getting eliminated in the first game, that's not going to fly.
No.
And he was basically banished because the procedure he used of signing all the top players in the country and, you know, expending whatever that took. And that's when the money was not out front. That there's no telling how much under the table money prompted a lot of those guys to go to Kentucky to start with. But that pipeline dried up when everybody else got to start paying for players. And in recent years, it's been a dry spell. So he had to go. And Tony, I think his stock as a coach was really low when he went to Arkansas. Everybody kind of laughed and said, oh, look, he's landed in Arkansas. You know, it was like Last Stand, but I think he did an extraordinary job. Don't forget, this Arkansas team started the SEC season 0-5.
And
look what they've done since then. They were the bottom feeder. They were below South Carolina and LSU. And for them to now go on to the Sweet 16 is quite the accomplishment. I think you could tell by they were showing close-ups of Calipari's wife as the seconds ticked down. She was just bawling in the stands because it was probably such an emotional ride to go from, you know, this emperor's kind of position to being a cast out. I mean, she was just emotionally, you know, just overcome. And you could even see on his face, and he said later on, you know, this how proud he was of this group and stuff, because this team has really just stayed the course and had some extraordinary performances. And for, you know, nobody probably had them on their dance card for the Sweet 16 going into this thing.
He has been to as many Sweet 16s with Arkansas one year than he was with Kentucky his last six.
That's amazing.
His last That's six amazing. Years. Now, listen, yep. I mean, I don't care who you are, but at Kentucky, you're going to get, hell, just show them the arena. Just show them her up. And that's enough for you. You're talking blue bloods. I mean, Kentucky basketball is the same as Alabama football, period. It's just a different sport. I'm just telling you, you go around there, there's huge amounts of money. There's horses all over the place. It's like money, 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 money. It's just beautiful.
You know, and it when you're that kind of personality, it's kind of the Bill Belichick personality, even Nick Saban to a lesser extent. As long as you're winning and everything's going great, nobody cares if you're kind of a jerk. Yep. Nobody cares if you're just standoffish and smart, you know, a smart ass and don't respect what the fans say. Or if somebody says, you know, on a call-in show something that pisses you off, you call him down. Boy, if things start to slide the other way, that's not very attractive anymore.
He hadn't been to a Final Four in 10 years. That's hard to believe.
That's really hard to believe.
I mean, that really is.
Being in that basketball factory of Kentucky.
Who are you rooting for, by the way, Calipari or Patino in that game? That was, talk about picking your bumps.
You know, that's a hard question because, I mean, I like Patino better as a person, but, you know, Patino's got his many flaws too. And I'm not talking about his dessert at the Italian restaurant, but you know, he's kind of full of himself. But I don't know. I kind of found myself because from the SEC standpoint, I was kind of rooting for Calipari because I appreciate the monumental accomplishment of taking Arkansas, who's not been Arkansas is always a good program, but they're never kind of an elite one. So for them to be where they are now and to pull off that big win was quite a remarkable accomplishment. And St. John's, I was not surprised. I thought Arkansas plus 7.5 points was a really good bet the other day, because if you watch St. John's, they don't shoot the ball well at all.
They have all year.
if you put them in a little bit of a bad position and get ahead of them, I don't care if they play great defense. I never seen a team clank so many three pointers down the stretch. I think they went like 0 for 11, their last 11 tries. They couldn't hit the broad side of the barn. So it was, you could kind of see it coming. Arkansas played to me with more effort. And so that's an indictment against Rick, but I don't know, both of them, the New York kind of savvy kind of guys. And I didn't mind seeing Calipari beat him, to be honest.
I always tell my son, it's always more important to be boring and right than exciting and wrong.
Oh, that's great.
So you can go ahead and pick all the upsets you want. You can celebrate it for 2 or 3 minutes. If you got a 16 over a one and it pulls out, you didn't know shit. You didn't know anymore. You just got lucky. You picked a lucky one. You know, six of the last, 11 years, 2 12s are going to make it every single year. And they did it again this year. It's going to happen. So you got something to look at, some resource to look at, but it's always better to be boring than right, or boring and right than exciting and wrong. And I'm sitting here with my final four, all 4 1 seeds, and we're like, wow, that's really good picking, Tone. Way to go, Chalk. Hey, my final four is still intact, sucker bag. So get over it. All right. And so I'm batting about 50% right now on my games, but I got 7 of my Elite Eight, so I'm still alive.
That's what counts, because that's where the big points are.
Yes,
let me ask you a quick question before we got to wrap up. Last year we had 3 double digit seeds in the Sweet 16. This year we have 0. Yep. Nada. No double digit seeds. Is this a corrective action that we're going to see become more of the trend, in your opinion, or is this just a bad year for the underdogs?
You would think it would not become the trend just because we've got NIL now right now, and you can bring guys in at smaller programs, but you know what? The smaller programs don't have the money. They don't have the money to bring in big time basketball players. And it's amazing too, because I was watching an Illinois game. I don't think they have one American in their entire staff. I don't.
Yeah.
And they're all Slovakia. We'll see. Woos. I mean, I was looking at the names. I could not pronounce when they did the starting lineup of the Illinois basketball program. I couldn't pronounce one last name of the starting five.
And I was we couldn't have any of those people on the starting lineup. We can't pronounce their
well,
name.
Hell, and they may be gone by the end of the week. We don't know what immigration is going to do, man. These guys have just go up to Illinois and start bring ice That's up right. to Illinois. There may be nothing left of that basketball program after Trump gets done with it. But you bring up a really good point. We've only had all number ones go to the Final Four only one time back in 2008, which is really incredible. As much as we like those double seeds, as long as those 2 12s make it through, it's okay with me. I do like the cream to rise to the crop. But if you look at the national titles, the last 8 years, a number one's won. The cream's always going to rise. I think the NC State days, the Val Vanity years are done. I don't think that we're going to see that again for a while. But then again, you know, Gonzaga was one of those teams that, you know, you never thought you'd see in a Final Four. And hell, they've been to 9 Sweet 16s. So even small teams can do it too. So there you have it.
Yep.
All right.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. Florida had a tough game yesterday. Auburn had tough games. I don't think these teams are invulnerable. We'll see. But
Alabama had a pretty tough game. I mean, they got it done, but still, St. Mary's a good squad.
Yeah, they're scrappy. Let's see how the rest of it plays out. But I'm rooting for you, but I still don't see all 4 1 seeds getting there.
We'll see, my friend. We'll talk about it on our big show coming up Saturday morning. The starting lineup, ABC 3340, ABC 3340 called the starting lineup. Check out Kip and myself. And, of course, Terry Case out there has been on fire with his plays from the desert out there, Las Vegas Sun. And, of course, our good friend, the legend, will have his 5 minutes as well. We'll look forward to that. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
Tony, always a pleasure.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.